Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Not guaranteed.
Well, maybe. Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
Somewhat.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells, as always, the big voice guy for the big show. It's a podcast that we do every now and then, usually on a Friday. We record these things occasionally on a Thursday. Not sure what that really means to you, but hey, we'll go with it. Yes, this is the What's Your Problem podcast, a podcast designed for business owners and professionals to tackle that issue of it's always something, because it is always something. This is a video and audio podcast. If you want to watch, check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. And if you want to listen, check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, and today we've got a photog phenom, another BNI-er, colleague of mine, Mayura Fatare. Did I say that right?
Very close.
That's very close. You just told me what it was. I knew I'd screw it up.
No, that's okay.
That's okay?
In my native language, it's pronounced very differently.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is it?
So the PH is a P, and Fatare.
Fatare.
Yeah.
Is it one of those Fatare?
Fatare.
You could almost sound Italian if you wanted to.
True.
Right?
And half of India cannot say it the right way, so perfectly fine.
So it's really cool because, I mean, you're a hilarious person. And a lot of people in BNI in our chapter would attest to that because you're just, you know, I don't know if you mean to be funny, but you do, you're... You get a lot of laughs. I mean, that's not a bad thing when you get up and talk to the group.
Yeah, I try. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right, yeah. Right. So getting into it, there's something that we do, if you've listened to the podcast before, which I'm sure you have, you've probably brushed up on it and everything. We do something called the Random Five. Five completely random questions.
Okay.
Other than the first one, because I just kind of bring it up and I already looked at it. So it's kind of a funny question. It is brought to you by Kaliyoka Company. Check those guys out. Link is in the description. They are a cleaning company, a probiotic all-natural cleaner. That is just absolutely amazing. Here we go. Question number one. What wrong assumptions do people make about you?
What wrong assumptions do people make about me?
Yes.
Let's see. So I think people always tend to assume I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
I'm not. I eat all kinds of meat.
Right.
I prefer fish, chicken, and eggs, but, you know, I've had red meats also. So.
What's your favorite red meat? Do you have a barbecue guy down here?
Steak.
Steak. There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to, have you been to the new Perry's Chop House up in Cool Springs?
Up in Cool Springs.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Is it Perry's or Sperry's? Because Sperry's is a steakhouse.
There's well, a right? Sperry's and then there's a Perry's.
Okay, no, I haven't.
I think it's Perry's. We're actually going there tonight.
Okay.
Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be the worst celebrity to have dinner with?
The worst celebrity to have dinner with?
Yeah.
Matthew Perry.
Really?
Yeah. It's a random question. It's a random answer.
Random answer? Any particular reason? Not a fan of Friends?
None whatsoever.
No reason or just not
no
a friend?
No reason. Okay. You spoke about Perry's. Matthew Perry's the first name.
There we go.
My mind.
We'll go with it. Question number three. What small thing makes you angrier than it should? This is a good question for me.
When I enter my house, my dog comes, sniffs my legs, and starts licking them for no reason.
I can see how that would drive you nuts.
Yeah, and he recently started doing it as though there's something on my legs and feet, but he does that every single time.
And it drives you batty.
It drives me nuts.
I get it. My dog will sit there and lick the couch and it has nothing to do with me. It's on the other couch on the other side of the room, and it drives me out of my friggin' mind. Question number four, what one thing would you most want to save in your house if your house caught fire, assuming that any people or animals made it out safely already?
My desktop.
Your desktop?
Yeah.
Not even cameras, I guess, are at your studio and stuff.
Much of that is at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
desktop, intellectual property.
Final question, number five. What flavor combination is kind of weird, but you really like it?
I don't know if we still get it, but there used to be Coke Vanilla.
Vanilla Coke?
Yeah. Do we still get it?
You can get it in the movie theater.
I haven't had a Coke for maybe 5 years now, but it came to India in the mid-90s.
Right.
It was a rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that Vanilla Coke.
But in India, Coke is much different than here.
Coke is this, like Coca-Cola is the same, but they have, you know, different drinks within that brand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. The Random Five brought to you by Kalioka Company. Check those guys out. Once again, the link is in the description and on we go. Interesting you bring up soda. You haven't had a drink of soda in 5 years, you said.
Coca-Cola.
So you've had Pepsi.
I probably have had Pepsi.
Diet Coke?
No.
Not even Diet Coke?
No.
Coke Zero?
No.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've had Sprite. I don't know if it's Coke or Pepsi, but I've had Sprite. I've had...
Sprite is a Coke product, I think.
I've had Fanta. I just haven't had that traditional Coca-Cola.
Any particular reason?
Never came... Well, to begin with, I avoid sodas anyways, but if, you know... Yeah, that's probably the biggest reason. And even Sprite and Fanta.
Right.
Maybe once in the last 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Just avoid it. Yeah.
It's a good thing to cut out of the diet.
Yeah.
From what I hear. So getting into photography, I know a bit of your background because we've been friends for so long and colleagues and B&I and all that fun stuff. Tell me and let everybody know, how did you get to be the amazing photog phenom that you are? How did that story start and begin and get you to where you are today?
All the way from the beginning?
Well, I mean, realistically, from a professional standpoint, I don't need to hear about, you know, when you your first long-term memories were being formed or anything like that, but, you know.
Okay. So, in 2017, I just decided, you know, that I've been in the corporate world for a while, and, you know, I want to try and do something by myself. And the only other skill set I had, a bankable skill set I had outside of, you know, my education and the skills I gained in corporate America was photography. So I thought, okay, let's just take a plunge, see how that goes. And that's how it started. And now we, you know, while we are still a photography company, we've changed the business model quite a bit.
Right. Because you do a lot more video and renderings and things of that nature.
Yep, we do a lot of video. We do a lot of what's the term that's most popular is 3D product visualization.
Right.
That we do a lot of that. Most of our business is that now.
And you do an amazing job with that kind of a thing because I've seen the stuff you've done. I mean, you'll take just a blank bottle. And it's for maybe a wine company or a vineyard, and you'll put their color of wine and the label on it and everything, and it's all digital, right?
Yep. Everything done on a computer.
That's nuts.
Yep.
But, I mean, what got you into photography to begin with, even going further back before 2017? Any inspiration?
Well, so when I was in high school, I went to military school for a little while, and in the afternoon classes, you know, when generally you doze off, the options were music, history and literature, and photography. And I did not want to do music or history or literature.
Because you don't like music, right?
I don't think I would ever be good at it.
So. But you just don't like music? You don't like listening to music?
I like listening to music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think people would like listening to me indulging in music.
But you do like music?
Yeah.
Why did I think you didn't like music?
You shouldn't have thought that. Didn't we just have the Backstreet Boys NSYNC?
That is true.
What do you want to call it? fight off.
And as soon as you mentioned that in the meeting, I made it all about the Backstreet Boys were in sync.
Yeah.
In the meetings that we have, I run the audio visual portion of the meetings, and we kind of play it by ear. If somebody happens to bring up whatever topic and I can imply some musicality to it, I go ahead and do that, just for those of you who don't know. And in this particular situation, Myra was bringing up a topic of when you had a battle of NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys.
Right.
Yes.
And it was in a, what was the context? Remind me.
So this was, my guess is it was either 1999 or 2000, because this was either
their heyday.
Ninth or 10th grade. And one of my, now that I remember it clearly, one of my childhood friends whose family had moved to the U.S., she was visiting then.
Mm-hmm.
And she just told us about the 4th of July. Now, our previous context of the 4th of July was the movie Independence Day. That's
right.
All we knew about 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought this up and we decided to celebrate 4th of July. I remember this was a weekend because school was out. And we was like, okay, you know, what do we know about America?
4th of July.
4th of July and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Let's just do a dance-off. And of course, groups formed because there are Backstreet fans and there are NSYNC fans.
What
and
camp were you in?
I was in the Backstreet camp.
You like Backstreet Boys?
I like both, but more Backstreet Boys.
I had a late life adoption of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
I finally just admitted. I'm like, you know, I like these guys.
Yeah.
These are kind of cool. And, you know, I'm of the age where I don't give a crap what you think of me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and form an opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
Any age is right for that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't really worry too much about what others think of you.
Do you have a favorite Backstreet Boy by chance?
So I remember the blonde, semi-long-haired guy was called Nick.
Yeah.
And then there was the other guy, was he Brian, who also had blonde
hair? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at least back in the 90s, Brian.
Yeah.
It was Brian, and then was it Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin's the tall guy.
Yeah.
He's got the chiseled look.
Yeah.
And he's, I saw them in a documentary that they had, I don't know when, but it was, you know, the documentary was fun to watch, but it also made them, it's like, these guys are cool.
Yeah.
I'll hang out with them. Why not?
Yeah,
you
definitely.
So you were camp Backstreet Boys. You learned photography around that time and started getting into it. You a Canon, Nikon, Sony guy? What are you?
Well, my gear is Canon, but doesn't really matter. I mean, with, you know, everyone is like, if you ask me who's better, it's splitting hairs.
Yeah.
All of them are right up there with, you know.
I've always been a Canon guy, but I never really used Nikon. You know, I don't know if there's a learning curve between the two at all.
You just, it's, you know, driving a, for the lack of a better term, driving a Toyota versus driving a Ford. I mean, it's essentially the same vehicle. The controls are located in different positions.
They'll accomplish the same task. They'll just feel differently.
Correct.
And perform differently.
Yeah. There's people in the industry who geek over, you know, what's
gear.
Better.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not into that at all.
You're not into the geekery of the gear?
No. As long as it gets the job done, that's good enough.
Have you used all different types of cameras?
I've used Canons, Nikons, and Sonys. I haven't used Pentax or Leica.
Hasselblad or whatever that.
I have tried a Hasselblad, which one of my friends has, and it's worth $55,000.
That's a really high-end camera.
Yeah.
Can you tell the difference on the spot when you pick up a camera like that and take a picture and go, oh, okay, I could see why it costs this much?
It's color depth.
Right.
Is incredible. Like if you zoom into the picture, the level of clarity and everything is amazing.
Is it something that the layman will notice though? Like I'm amateur at best at photography. My thing's more videography, as you well know. But even that I don't take as seriously as I need to. Like I'm lagging on the technology curve, but I don't get into like, I'm hesitant to even get up to 4K video because it's, I don't want to, you know, it takes up way too much room.
Again, I think now between a 1080p and a 4K or an 8K, there's some difference which becomes obvious. But you know, almost everything you see on YouTube today that plays
is 4K.
It plays in 1080p.
That's true. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you like to see what you see on YouTube? Yeah, you do. So realistically, you know.
Well, I mean, at what point do we get beyond what the human eye can process? Is it 10K, 12K?
That's a question for a geek. Right. Honestly, that's a question for a geek. But to answer your question, do you notice a difference? A little bit, whether or not it creates a huge impact on, you know, like a client. No. I really haven't experienced that.
Right. So bring that mic just a tad closer. Get right on it. Don't be afraid of it.
There we go.
So getting into it, you got into photography mainly just for the outcome of it. You like the, you know, what you could produce, not necessarily the gear and stuff like that, or the lenses or the glass, as they say in the biz. Are you a particular glass guy? Do you like a certain kind of lens, focal length and all that stuff?
It depends on the situation, but my go-to is the 70 to 200 f2.8.
Right. Got to have the 2.8, right?
Yeah. It works for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my go-to lens.
Do you like changing lenses if need be? Because I can't stand it.
If need be, is that qualifier over there?
That's one of those things, small things that drive me batty.
I have many times, you know, I have stepped several feet back to still keep using my 70 to 200.
Yeah. Because it's like, so zoomed in.
Yep.
That's funny.
If I don't want to go down to 50, which I do have a good 50 millimeter lens.
Is it a nifty 50?
It's a nifty 50.
That's the 1.8.
Yes.
Yeah. Or the 1.4, right?
No, the one I have is a 1.8. There is a 1.4, though.
That's a really expensive one.
Yes.
The L series lens, 1.8.
I think so. Yeah.
We're really talking geeky stuff here. For the average person that's listening, they're like, what in the world are they talking about with lenses and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Unless you're into it, you know, you got to figure it out. Go watch a YouTube video about lenses. That's all I can tell you. Getting into other things, what was your first foray into, how did you learn everything?
So that
college course?
Yeah, when I was in military school, you know. So the way I learned it was, back then it was the days of film. And the instructor we had, she insisted, for whatever reason, you know, she insisted on talking or teaching us in the native language, which I understood.
Right.
Few people in the class understood, but there were people from all over the country and some other countries as well. So I offered to be her translator to translate into English.
Right.
And that's, I think, you know, that got me a little more interested in the concept, and that's how I learned.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that was my beginning. Then when I, you know, for a little while, I didn't do much with it. Then when I came to the US after graduating, after getting a job, I started getting back into it again, you know, till one fine day I left my job and decided to do this full time.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting into it, and you said you learned on film.
Started on film? Yeah.
That's a lot of guesswork. So you have to, you don't know what your results are.
Yep.
And then through the viewfinder, whatever settings you have, you're not getting an accurate representation of what the final picture is going to be, correct?
You're correct. With sufficient experience,
right,
you then eventually understand, okay,
yeah,
these ratios are going to give me this output.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, you just don't know. It's trial and error.
Yeah. You waste film over film over film, and it's expensive.
Yeah. You think the people that are getting into it these days have any idea how it used to be?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But honestly, does it matter?
Well, it's a differentiator, I would say, branding wise, for, you know, somebody who's used film before. You have an intrinsic knowledge and understanding of what all those settings mean.
So
I'm still trying to figure out what an f-stop is. What does F stand for? Focal.
I don't remember. You're right. So having good knowledge of that is still important. It is important in the sense that if you don't understand what an f-stop is, shutter, ISO,
yeah,
you know.
What is ISO? What does it stand for? Does it stand for anything?
If I have to give you an engineering answer, ISO actually has to relate with ISO quality standards. ISO comes from, I think that ISO term comes somewhere from Latin, in terms of photography,
right.
And it means something. I honestly, like I said, I'm not a geek in all this.
All I know is that the higher number, it gets brighter and eventually it gets right. really noisy.
Basically, it makes your sensor more sensitive to light.
Right.
That's what ISO does.
Okay.
Shutter speed is how quickly your shutter opens and shuts.
Yes.
And f-stop is basically how wide your apertures open or close. That's
right.
what it is. And the three together combined with lighting give you the output you want.
It's like I'm dangerous enough to sort of know what I'm doing when it comes to that stuff. I know at this point in videography and a little bit of photography
mm-hmm.
what all those three components actually will add up to.
Correct.
But again,
correct.
I don't do much photography in general.
Yeah.
But if I have to, it's I've got that immediate feedback.
Yeah.
Through the digital.
Yeah. You know, there are levels of, like I said, geekiness in this subject matter. There are people who, you know, when they get light diffusers,
yeah.
they will understand the difference between, you know, the parabolic curve that mm-hmm. the diffuser is and what it does. And I am not at that level. My thought is, as long as I like what the light is doing, who cares what diffuser it is?
Are you a big Photoshop guy and go back and edit your stuff afterwards? Or are you to try to get it right then and there?
I try to get it right then and there. You know, like they say in the industry, get it right in camera.
Yeah.
But there are situations where you cannot.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Do you shoot in the raw?
I shoot in raw. Yeah. But it's, you know, with experience, you start understanding that I can invest time now during the shoot or my time spent better in editing.
Right.
If it's going to take me an additional 20 minutes over here, what can be retouched in 5 minutes, I'm going to choose 5 minutes.
Now, do you come across a lot of the, I've heard the term photographer, you know, people with iPhones these days fancy themselves as professional photographers. Is that chap your ass?
Doesn't bother me at all.
Really?
No, doesn't bother me. Even
because I remember we've had podcasts before where we mm-hmm. talked about sales and techniques of that nature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people that are underpricing the industry and how do you overcome that and provide value and things of that nature with photography,
mm-hmm.
especially being the fact that you've got raw fundamental experience with film cameras, which a lot of professional, quote unquote, mm-hmm. photographers these days probably mm-hmm. don't have.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, is that doesn't do anything for you? That doesn't, like, you know, you freaking whippersnapper and.
I think, regardless of the industry, be it photography, be it finance, legal, manufacturing, engineering, you will find clients at every level of pricing.
That is true.
Yeah. So yeah. we've set ourselves at a certain level of pricing and certain kinds and types of clients, you know, work with us.
Are you still finding yourself in the, you know, having that conversation or people just come to you understanding that, hey, there's a certain quality of this and I know I'm going to have to pay a certain level for this kind of quality. Is that conversation still happening?
That conversation has significantly reduced.
Okay.
There are...
Since you've been on the podcast and we had the whole schooling and sales,
that's
because of that podcast, right?
That was definitely some help. it's significantly reduced because we, you know, through our marketing, pre-communication, we set certain expectations
right.
that if you are looking for this to be a run and gun type of a thing, we are not the right people for you.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'm more like that. I just want to get it done. Like yesterday, I mm-hmm. literally went down to Birmingham, Alabama
mm-hmm.
With my camera, shot about 20 minutes of an employee at a dealership receiving mm-hmm. a $50,000 prize.
Mm-hmm.
They have a contest in the company.
Yeah.
And just to getting her reaction and stuff like that. It's
mm-hmm.
there are, you know, companies out there, well, we got to set the lighting and we got to do this and we got to measure. And I'm like, no, I'm setting it up on my thing. I'm just kind of guerrilling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out okay.
Yeah. And, you know, again, there are, like I said, there are clients who want that.
Yeah.
There are clients who would want, you know, somewhere in between where we are and then there are clients who, you know, like to geek on that process.
Yeah.
You know, okay, have you, you know, what are your lighting ratios? What is your distance of light X from the subject? And how is the light hitting that subject? And all of that.
Have you seen my videos before? You've seen my stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's good.
You could tell me. You could be honest with me.
No, I'm, you know, as what is important is your client satisfied?
Yeah.
If your client says this
works. But I want to know if Mayor is satisfied. Are you look at that and you go, this guy's a hack.
You do a good job. You do a good job. You definitely do a good job.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I thank you. Because I really just kind of phoned it in. But I mean, hey, it's an autopilot level of some sort.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, with anything that's going to work. So. Yeah.
I mean, much like these podcast episodes, I kind of phoned it in. But it works. I'm not going to change fix what's not broken.
Correct.
Yeah.
No need to reinvent the wheel. Don't fix what's not broken.
So with that being said, we learned all about you and everything. What's your problem? What is your problem? What do you bring to me today? What do you need to know? Or do I have a problem that you can fix, maybe? Maybe you do.
Okay, so my problem is...
You've not given this much thought, have you?
No, I have. I was debating between two, and this one makes a lot more, you know, sense to put it out there.
Right.
So, like I said initially, we've transitioned from being a photography company to a more 3D product visualization company.
Right.
And that concept is very, very new to the manufacturing world. It's not a new concept by any means. If you've played Grand Theft Auto, if you've played Call of Duty, you've seen that concept in action. That
right.
itself is 3D product or 3D visualization.
Right.
That's the technology we use to provide, you know, visual marketing content to our clients. The challenge right now is it's still somewhat it's relatively unknown.
Yeah.
And you don't realize you're looking at it every day. Like if you today see ads for your Apple iPhones or your Samsung Galaxy phones, they use 3D visualization now.
Right.
Much of their content is no longer traditional photography and video. It's this. The problem we are having is not enough companies and people know about this concept yet. And we are, you know, when clients come to us asking for product photography, we are like, yeah, we can do product photography for you, but check this out. It can be done this way. And it is, in many cases, it's more efficient time-wise, money-wise, logistics-wise. It's more repeatable. It's more consistent. So getting that word out is the challenge.
Because in that setting, you can adjust the lighting infinitely. Mm-hmm. It's a virtual landscape in a way, right?
Yeah. I mean, so imagine this. Let's say you are a manufacturer of, I'll just talk about one of our large clients. You're a manufacturer of sporting goods.
Right.
You know, you make shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Biking shoes, skiing helmets, skis, and you have, let's say you have, say on the helmet side, you have 50 helmets,
mm-hmm.
different designs. And within those designs, each of the design has 100 different colors, different graphics and everything on them. Now, imagine having to, you know, move all those products, you know, to a studio. So that's your
shipping. And then getting them positioned right,
correct.
Set right, all that stuff.
Correct. Your logistics of getting them to a studio.
Right.
And then, you know, getting them consistent every single time.
Yeah. Get on that mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, move that mic over again. There you go.
So, you know, getting everything to be consistent.
Yeah.
That in the photography world takes a long, long, long time.
It does.
Versus in the 3D product world, once we've created the base models, you know, it's a question of changing the colors, changing the graphics. And the process is very repeatable, very consistent.
It's efficient.
It's very efficient.
Much more efficient, much than the efficiency and consistency, two big keywords,
yep.
I would imagine.
Yep.
So if I were to understand it correctly,
mm-hmm.
For somebody that needs to do bulk
Correct.
You know, if you're talking about bicycle helmets or something like that, mm-hmm. and you want to see a multitude of different graphics and mm-hmm. choices, mm-hmm. Let's say your user experience online is, I want to pull up this helmet, but I want to go scroll through by hitting the left or right arrow mm-hmm. of all the different designs. Mm-hmm. You see that product, that object does mm-hmm. not move, but the only thing that does shift is the graphics.
Yep.
And how it looks.
Yep. Yeah. And with that, we can create, you know, all sorts of animation. You want to understand what is inside that helmet. How is it going to protect
me? Exploded, you know, views.
Yeah, exploded mm-hmm. views. How is it going to protect me?
Right.
You know.
So you can do showing the actual helmet mm-hmm. right there, and all of a sudden you hit the play button and
yep,
here's all the parts.
Explodes out yeah. to show its components and how they come together and right. what happens when, you know, you fall down, you tumble, and you hit the ground, how that helmet protects you. Now, yeah. in today's world, especially, you know, post-pandemic, when, you know, supply chains are no longer what they used to be, there are so many delays, and everyone's shopping online, it's all the more important for the viewer to have that experience without really having that product in their hands.
Right.
Be able to see as much on your website.
Yeah.
Before they decide to make a purchase.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's, and your question is, how do I convey that to a prospect in the simplest way?
In simple terms, yes. Once a prospect is in front of us, we know how to do it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, trying to get that word out with, you know, our limited resources is what is a challenge for us right now.
What's the tip of the spear conversation starter phrase kind of thing is what you're looking for. This is kind of my forte, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know. And if I were to think about it, it's you're thinking about, if you want to, you know, simplify, even further simplify potentially a simple product. You know, we can make that happen. We make mm-hmm. we virtualize your product and then, you know, make it more efficient in the processing of the collateral, the photos, and things of that nature.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably the most obtuse way to describe it. But I mean, how have you been describing it?
So the way we've been approaching is, you know, we get in touch with a manufacturer of a certain product.
Yeah.
And we talk to them about how they are getting their marketing content now and ask them if they've heard of this technology. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's improving, but still 7 out of 10 times, you know, the answer is, no, I've not heard of it. So right. then we have a little video reel which shows what all can be done.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that becomes more relatable, but because they're like, okay, I have seen this somewhere.
Yeah.
So we start with that. And many times I have to explain it in rather simplistic terms, like, have you ever played Call of Duty or mm-hmm. have you seen a Disney movie? You know, that's the technology we can use to create content, you know, for the products you're selling. That kind of gets them thinking, okay, seems like, you know, okay, I'm avoiding, you know, having to go to a studio. I'm avoiding having to ship products. I'm avoiding having to scout some location, you know.
And so are you frustrated with the cost and time it takes to come up with marketing material for your products? Is that a leading question that you could possibly ask? I mean, have you had issues with, you know, when it comes time to take pictures of mm-hmm. product collateral and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
Does it make you just go, oh, crap, not again? You know,
that's
we solve that problem.
Yeah, that's kind of a question we ask. You know, yeah. the question we ask is, because of today's supply chain delays, you know, right. how much is that eating into your sales cycle, your yeah. marketing cycle?
Do you really want to unbox 20 different items in your inventory and have yeah. to take pictures and have to rebox them up and all that other stuff?
Yep, and possibly, you know, store them somewhere. So right. there you go. You're spending for, you know, storage cost as well right. now.
So would a lot of online retailers be somebody you can look into? You know, maybe they're shipping out of Amazon. Amazon's mm-hmm. doing the storage. They don't have any local storage of, you know, mm-hmm. to hold inventory. They've got a few different samples. Hey, I just want to bring my sample down. I want to put a whole bunch of overlays on it.
Mm-hmm. So we like to, online retailers, yes, but we like to distinguish between someone who's either a retailer or distributor mm-hmm. versus someone who's a manufacturer. The right. manufacturer is our target audience.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, because they are the ones who create the marketing collateral, even for their retailers.
Right.
So it's the manufacturer who our target is.
Well, I mean, here at, you know, the J2HQ, as we call it, mm-hmm. we're doing, we've got a line of products that we're going to be calling Magnitude, and it's a yeah. colored RGB LED light that lives in rugged environments, harsh environments, car mm-hmm. washes, things of that nature, all weather lighting, mm-hmm. but can also put on light shows. So
yeah.
part of my responsibility is to come up with product photos mm-hmm. and we've got, you know, my camera and the green screen upstairs and stuff like that. So you're saying I can just get, you know, not that we need a multitude of different photos,
yeah.
but I mean, we just need product photos. I mean, I, you know, the only thing that's going to be interchangeable this time around mm-hmm. is not shooting them in front of a white backdrop, a high key backdrop, but it's going to be chroma key green screen. So we could put anything behind them, you know, and yeah. cut out whatever we need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but in this case, is that a good fit for what you're doing? Or you need like manufacturers with multiple items?
So where does it, like I said, you know, when you have bulk quantities, that's a superb fit. But think about, you know, when you want to create any motion, any animation
right.
of your products.
But is that a leading question? What gets you the most conversation? Which portion of it?
The what gets us most interested is, you know, the part where I said because of supply chain delays, they have less and less time to actually market. You know,
right.
there is, you know, I'm sure there's enough information, but it's almost logical that if you have enough marketing time before your product is launched,
right.
you know, people become so much more aware of your product.
Yeah.
So that's where I guess the benefit really lies, being able to market up front,
mm-hmm.
market your product up front.
But I mean, as far as the two services are concerned, the mm-hmm. virtual photography of bulk items,
mm-hmm.
which is a very key term that just stood out in my mind,
yep.
Versus the exploded view animations, you know, which one actually gets the traction?
It would depend upon the product.
Right.
If the product has features which, when animated and explained,
okay.
improve its sellability,
right.
you know, then it really doesn't matter if it's just one product. You know, you show its key features, you know, it's helpful.
Is there more of what you do now, more so than the other? What's the split between the two services?
It's maybe 60-40, really.
Oh, really? Is
yeah.
that even?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. I would imagine a lot of what you're doing has got to be spec work, you know. I'm one thing that kind of comes to mind is mm-hmm. if what I'm doing can help somebody and I see something on their website
mm-hmm.
that I know I could do better. I've done this with podcasts mm-hmm. and, you know, radio commercials all for the past 10 years and mm-hmm. I've achieved clients that way.
Yeah.
Have you spec'd people and say, hey, listen, I see your stuff, looks mm-hmm. terrific. Here's a different twist on it. Maybe if we can talk, I might be able to do better by you mm-hmm. with this technology. What do you think of this? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You've done that before?
Yeah.
Has that opened up doors?
It's definitely helped to the extent that, you know, sometimes I have in fact suggested a combination of things, like
yeah.
some part photography is good and some part all of this. And, you know, there are a few clients who's like, no photography. Let's just do everything this way.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, you know, I'm not going to ever claim, at least now, I'm not going to claim that 3D visualization can do each and everything better than photography, although it does most of the things either equally good or better. There are some aspects, you know, where photography is good. At this point, having any kind of human presence in images or videos is still a challenge with 3D visualization.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are companies out there who are creating realistic virtual human beings.
That is true.
Yeah. And, you know.
You remember the days of the walk-on spokesperson?
The walk-on.
You'd go, I mean, it drove me nuts. And people
yeah.
were like, I want the person, when you go to the website, they walk out in front. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Every time that happens, I look for the little X, I get out of here. I didn't ask
uh-huh.
for that. you know, because I did back in the day the VidSigs, and it was a selective, almost permission-based type of video content that, you know, hey, you want to find out more about us? Here's a very authentic, you know, no scripts, no posing, just the owner or the manager being themselves, introduction of what we do and who we are. And that's what I kind of did for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of what you're talking about, is 3D visualization an industry term for you that you have to teach people?
Yes.
Or would virtual visualization work better, do you think?
So there's so many terms. It's called 3D product renderings, 3D renderings, digital renderings, 3D product visualization, 3D visualization.
All 3D.
Yeah. In general, the term 3D is used because the content is created using 3D computer-generated files.
Do you find yourself having to explain that what that is using different terms and terminology?
I find that people are more aware of digital renderings than any other term.
Really?
Yeah. Within the industry, the term 3D product visualization seems more, you know, more well-known.
It's sky talk. It's industry
correct,
talk.
Correct. Yeah. But on the client side, I think renderings, 3D renderings, product renderings, those seem to be terms people are more aware of.
So if they had to put it a search term, rendering would be part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anything, to speak to that, make sure all your keywords are in line and stuff like that. As far as getting more traction, what goals do you have set for yourself in the next several years? Where do you want to be, and what kind of clients do you want to build upon in verticals?
So our goal has been over the next 2 to 3 years to be significantly more as a percent in 3D visualization as compared to photography and video.
Right.
Possibly also get more into VR and AR, which uses 3D product visualization as a component of the whole.
Right.
So that's where we intend to grow into. We are not giving up photography and video. That will exist. But this is the future direction of visual content. And
makes sense.
Yeah, we want to be ready in it. But, you know, VR and AR are being heavily used. You know, just in my previous meeting, I was discussing with our common friend Chris Pangallo about how VR can be used in training employees. You know, rather than like large supply chain or logistics firms bring in hundreds of thousands of workers into their warehouses or distribution centers to work, and they come in and there is huge attrition over there. 80% of those people disappear within the first month. So what if, you know, there are those VR goggles which are basically cardboard boxes? They're not very expensive. What if those workers were given access to seeing the work environment before actually being present? Would that reduce attrition? Maybe it will, and would that save the company some money? Maybe it will. Same way, you know, let's say there's a company in Germany making some machinery. Germans make a lot of machines, production machines.
Yeah.
And someone in the US or Japan, you know, wants to buy it, and they want to see how that whole layout is going to look on their shop floor.
Yeah.
Using VR, we can actually create that layout on the shop floor.
Can you actually tie into facility cameras and get a virtual depiction? Like, for example, if I'm buying a Mercedes from Stuttgart, Germany, and they build the S-Class over there, I'm a customer, and it just kind of popped into my head. I mean, it would be really cool if they get an email being like, hey, tomorrow at 3 p.m., your car that you ordered a month ago is actually getting on the line, is going to be built. And you can follow along the process. Should take a couple hours, but, you know, you can watch it, you know, in a virtual landscape. Not virtual, but, I mean, you can put on a set of goggles or watch a video or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, literally look around and look underneath and see what's happening while the car is being built. Is that something you can possibly do, or is that is that realistic? It takes on-site equipment to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of that can be done. Bottom line in any business is economically, it's got to make sense.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, adding that adds X number of dollars, is your client willing to pay that? If the client's willing to pay that, can
right.
be done.
Right. Because, yeah. I mean, they yeah. have the first class delivery services. You can mm-hmm. actually go over and receive your car in Germany if it's built mm-hmm. in Germany, and they'll do the delivery for you over there and then ship it overseas.
Yeah. You know it's definitely doable. I mean, and people, you know, people attach different value to different things.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
you've probably heard of the concept of metaverse, where people are now buying virtual land.
Yeah.
Paying, you know, several hundred thousands or millions of dollars for yeah. it. So why not?
Is that going to tie into what you're going to be able to do, you think?
Hopefully. If you've seen that movie Ready Player One.
Yeah.
You know, what is that? He's essentially entering into...
Or even Free Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're entering into a metaverse, and then he goes and he likes this suit which does certain things. He buys it in the metaverse, and then the delivery happens in real life. But in that metaverse, he can actually virtually try it on, see how it fits on him.
Right.
You know, and that suit is a 3D visualization of the real thing that's shipped to him eventually.
That's kind of like so. The, what do they call that? Fortnite skins and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can buy the skins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of crypto, I guess, comes in. Because, I mean, essentially, the money that you use to buy, like the Fortnite currency, is essentially a crypto. It's
yes.
a different kind of currency.
Yep. Yep.
You're trading dollars for that currency, and that valuation of that currency will buy a certain amount of product within the game.
Yep.
And it's like you never think about it that way, but that's essentially what it is.
Yes.
So it yeah. sounds like a lot of what you can do can get into the crypto... Almost NFT world, I would think.
I think so. I haven't delved much into... I mean, I'm aware what NFTs are. I'm aware right. what crypto is.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't delved too deep into it.
You should listen okay. to the episode we did with Julie Chadbourne. A couple
Julie
of episodes
Chadbourne.
Again. She gets deep on NFTs and crypto and stuff. We had a great conversation about that.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So getting back to that, I mean, you know, with getting more interest and... Prospecting, I guess, is what mm-hmm. you're talking about, getting mm-hmm. in front of the right people.
Yeah.
What feathers in your cap can you talk about in terms of what you've done for different
so,
clients?
We can, you know, like I said, we have a nice little reel of all the different animations we've done for our clients, showing, you know, different products, showing their exploded views, showing them in different environments. We can show that. You know, one thing that kind of works in my favor is, especially when I'm talking with manufacturers, is I have a manufacturing / engineering background. So talk a little bit about that, you know, connect.
That always helps.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, rather than connecting just professionally, connect.
And trying to understand what it is that they
level.
Do.
Yep.
Yeah. You automatically know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the industries we can show are... consumer goods, heavy machinery, you know, heavy machinery, photographing or, you know, doing videos for heavy machinery is often a challenge simply because it's heavy machinery.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You want to, like, there's a company that does battery storage units.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to show what's inside that unit. Well, it's not easy to cut open a container, but
yeah.
virtually I can do that
mm-hmm.
and actually show what's inside. And, you know, again, that is more client education. And if it has motion in it, motion grabs attention.
Yeah.
More attention. Let me qualify that. It grabs more attention, makes people stay on your website or social media longer. And the longer people spend time on that, you know, the better the chance of conversion.
But are you living what you say? And I'm pulling up your Instagram as we speak. Just I'm not ignoring you.
On Instagram, no.
Yeah. Why not, Mayor?
LinkedIn. I do more LinkedIn.
Yeah, but don't you think there are people that would be interested in what you can do on Instagram? It's a visual.
Sure.
It's a visual platform.
Yes. However, the key contacts that we need to talk with. They reside.
They're not on
LinkedIn.
They're not on.
I wouldn't say they're not on LinkedIn.
Their employees are.
True.
And their employees can tell the guys who need to make the decisions, hey, you need to check these guys out. I saw this cool thing on Instagram. You know?
True.
You never know. You can create some fanboys there. Some flaming advocates. Yes. I mean, I'm looking at your Instagram. If you if you guys are listening, follow him, Nashbox Studios. That's NASHBOX Studios.com. Or just the handle Nashbox Studios. Little over 1,000 followers. And, you know, these are your product photos. And all these were actual photos. Like the first one's a bike. Fathom Bikes, right?
That is probably a photo.
But it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks great. The next one is a helmet.
That is that is a rendering. That ones, few ones before that would be renderings as well.
Okay, I can see. I can see that you got. You know, you can even customize and tailor the lighting, the background, the shadows, the texture of the helmet. Like I'm looking at a helmet right now. I'll hold it up to the camera. I don't know if it'll be translated or follow through, but there it is. I'll try and get the glare off. If you're watching this, you can see it. But it's to describe it. It's a gray helmet with some green trim, some yellow trim as well, but it has a matte look to it. And it looks, this is a digital rendering, is what you're telling me, but it looks completely real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I've seen some of the Instagrams and TikToks of how they do some of this product photography, especially food, you know, and they have these little machines that will throw like oatmeal in the air or fries and everything, and they catch it, those really cool commercials that you see. They're doing that analog. You know, they're literally capturing that as they're throwing these things up in the air. Yes. But you're saying you can do that digitally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's a lot less expensive. And
it's less expensive because think about how many people are involved.
Yeah.
When you throw that, there's a
and the machinery
stylus.
And it's custom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You got a thing of a bottle of, this is the kind of stuff you need to be just putting this up constantly. Yeah.
Well, like I said,
looks fantastic.
Much, much more active on LinkedIn for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, think about it this way. Why do those renderings look very realistic? Because even if you do digital photography or rendering, a pixel is a pixel.
Yeah.
You know, on the computer. As long as you have the right recipe to make the pixel look a certain way, realism is a given.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, what I have interestingly seen is, when I do product photography, people want the product to be cleaned up nice and tidy. And when I do renderings, people want some element of, like, you know, scratches and dings.
A little bit of fallibility.
Of course, not all of them, but some of them, they're like,
there's a guy, scratches. And I guess he gets business off of this. He does this on TikTok a lot, right? And he goes out to various places. He'll go to New York City or, you know, Muscle Beach and things of that nature. And he's just got his camera with him. And he goes up to people and says, hey, I'll shoot you a sizzle reel, you know, a hype reel. And, you know, he tries to get somebody and they think that he's got, you know, ulterior motives. And he really doesn't. He says, look, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do it right now and have it produced. And I mean, some guy does it with photos and he does all these special effects and everything. And then, you know, all of a sudden these people are just bought in. They're like, oh, that is cool. You know, so he did it with somebody who works at Wendy's just to do a hype reel for them. What if you could do stuff like that? Like, hey, you know, let's say I'm walking through Costco and you have somebody trailing you. I'm going to take whatever this little giant ladder that you have at Costco or cutlery set. And I'm going to do some renderings of it. What's your card? And then you show the process and put it up on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. You know what I mean? Show the coolness factor because what you're doing is really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that could be huge for you.
Almost.
Huge.
I'm doing part of it. Almost every client we have.
Yeah.
Let me qualify that. Almost every large client we have, we've done a show and tell.
Right.
Like, okay, you know, try us out. We know we can really improve on your process. So try us out. You're right. We haven't done a good enough job in publishing that try us out process.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Why not? I mean, I think that's huge. Yep. That's sexy stuff you do.
Yep. Now we do have a video coming out very soon, which shows that whole try us out process.
Right. If you can find, like, especially capitalizing on the efficiency aspect of what you do, if you can efficiently produce videos like that, that show the process over and over again, even with the most mundane, if you were to take this name tag, right? My little name tag here, and make cool photos of it or digital renderings just to sell a product. That would just be, I mean, I'd sit there and watch that stuff for hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there are people, you can build an Instagram channel of multiple hundreds of thousands of people where all of a sudden you're just taking orders.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go out and hunt as much. Mm-hmm. So, but that takes effort in putting it in. That's your advertising, you know? So it's similar to when I was in radio, right? We never wanted to advertise ourselves. Just about every radio station other than the last group I worked for. Well, we're not buying billboards. Well, why not? Well, you can advertise your stuff on the radio station and the promos. But if people aren't listening, they're not hearing us anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we do what we preach, you know, as far as advertising ourselves? Same thing here. You know, it's everything you're espousing and you're trying to preach to your potential clients is something that you could be doing on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got a good looking product and a good looking process.
Thank you.
Brag about it to the world. You know,
that is true.
You know, and I think that could solve a ton of problems for you. Maybe just crank out one a week, you know, the biggest thing for any business owner. And again, I'm guilty of this too. I preach a lot of this and I don't live up to it as much as I need to. But the practicality and the putting into practice of these types of concepts is the toughest part, you know. If you devote a portion of your day, 10 or 15 minutes to just build, I got to build this week's video.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Showing the process.
You're right. We're doing a fairly good job of putting out one piece of content, finished content a week.
Yeah. Your last Instagram post was my birthday last year.
LinkedIn. Yeah. Like I said, LinkedIn.
But whatever you do on LinkedIn, just mirror
just
it
copy
on Instagram.
And paste. Yeah. Yes, we can do that.
Why not? We
haven't put out significantly is the process.
Yeah.
And people are interested in that.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. People
it's
do
cool.
like to see the process.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, I mean, it's like, hey, here's a helmet. We're taking a picture of it. Here's the rendering. Here's how it's going to look in digital. Hey, you guys want to see it with zebra stripes? Here's what it looks like with zebra.
Yeah.
A matte zebra stripe. Here's what it looks like with a matte zebra. You know, hell, man.
That is a good suggestion. Yeah.
Hey, what else, how would you like this helmet? If you like this helmet, give the guy, you know, give them a shout out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you get people coming to you. Hey, would you do that for my product? Because all of a sudden you got 100,000 followers. Yeah, we'll do that for your product. It's only $50,000.
Yes.
And we'll promote your product on our channel and we'll do all the different we'll do 5 variations of it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because
then all of a sudden they get promotion out of it.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Build your social channels.
Yeah.
Totally.
That is true.
Yeah. So a year from now, we're going to have at least one more Instagram post.
I hope so. No, I'll definitely. That was my second what's your problem pieces.
Your Instagram, your social media?
How do I up my social media game?
it is very difficult, especially when you're inside the bottle of any business. And what I mean is, you know, for me, I know exactly what you need to do and it feels right.
Yeah.
But again, the execution of it is a whole different story.
Yes.
You know, I know what I do. I try to put up at least one clip a week of this podcast. Believe you me, it's tougher than it looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when you're trying to, you know, attract clients, you're trying to get their, you know, fulfill your existing projects in addition to, okay, I still got to promote myself. You know, we're already doing that in B&I.
Yes.
But imagine every time, you know, hey, B&I people, look at this latest video we put together. A great ask for me is to share this video out and help me build my social channels. TikTok especially, because that's a whole new audience coming up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And these guys, these photographers that are just going out there and taking these impromptu photo shoots of people who are reluctant at first. Oh my goodness. I mean, now these guys they're reaching out to people. I think I would bet dollars to donuts that there are people that would you come out and shoot me? I'm going to be doing my mime performance in downtown Nashville, you know?
Yeah. Every generation seems to have a favorite social media now.
Yep.
I don't know, was Orkut ever a thing in the United States?
No, I don't remember hearing about that.
Interestingly, it's a Google product. Very, very popular in India and Brazil, and then Facebook took over and it just died away.
Yeah, Facebook, we were talking about this yesterday about Marketing 101. We had somebody here that wants us to get into the Spring Hill Christmas Parade, and I'm like, you know, for what we do, I'd rather take that front lawn and put our lighting products out there and show what we can do and make a fun little Christmas tree and Merry Christmas on the whatever we can do with our lighting products and put it out there.
Yeah.
And I went off on a tangent talking about, you know, all the different marketing principles mm-hmm. that I follow. And we talked about just impulse items and things of that nature. But ultimately, at the end of the day, owning the word in the mind of a prospect, you know, mm-hmm. what are you, you know? And that's the biggest thing to figure out. Yeah.
But, you know, marketing works in interesting ways, like a nicely LED lit car wash
yeah.
attracts more cars.
It does.
It definitely does. So, you know, like I know that for a fact, because when I go to a car wash, if I have a choice between a old, rusty, dingy looking car wash versus a nicely lit, you know, flashy LED lights pulsating and everything.
That brings up that brings up a whole different concept too that mm-hmm. I just thought of was a lot of people don't realize they need it until they realize mm-hmm. they need it, you know. In that space, five, mm-hmm. 6 years ago, if you mm-hmm. we were to go up to a car wash management company or manager or owner
yeah.
and say, hey, what do you think about putting a colored light show in mm-hmm. your wash? They'd probably we'd be laughed at. But it didn't get traction until somebody did it. And yeah. then all of a sudden it spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
Right. I'm wondering if that's the same thing that's happening with you. People yes. just don't realize they need it. You're in that stage of early adopter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Once we show them the technology and they're like,
oh
yeah, why would we do product photography? This makes so much more sense. You know, yeah. I have 20 products now, and every year I'm going to be launching, you know, 50, 100 new variants of those products.
Yeah.
Becomes way more efficient.
What's a good headline? Stop taking pictures of your products.
No.
But I mean, that's not what you're doing. Well, you're not selling. I'm going to, you know, what do you mean by that? What do you mean stop taking pictures of your products? Well, here's what we mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So.
There's the hook.
The hook. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
No, I want people to take pictures. I just want to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a hook, that's good. Stop yeah. taking pictures of your product. Do this instead.
Right.
That's a great hook.
Right.
But for me,
get them digitally rendered.
Correct. So that's yeah. you're right. That's yeah. that's a good hook.
Especially if you have a whole bunch of SKUs.
True. Yeah. If you have a whole bunch of SKUs.
Stop being skewed by other photography companies.
Skewed. Okay.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Don't stop getting yourself skewed. tell your photographer people that take pictures of your items to skew themselves or yep. something. I don't play on words. So occasionally this podcast ventures into the area of bad ideas. So maybe we're there.
Maybe.
You never know. anything else that you wanted to bring up or talk about that was it helpful?
Oh, this was definitely helpful.
It's yeah, like therapy.
Without a doubt.
Really could help your stuff is mm-hmm. voiceover. I mean, you know, we need to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could.
Wish I knew somebody.
Yes, that is true. my mind's thinking now. Like, whom do I know?
Who do I know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I guess it doesn't really play into a lot of what you do. It's just visual.
Oh, it does.
Does it?
It does. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, in any video, you may have, you know, call outs explaining what's going on. But if there is an accompanying voice basically explaining what's going on, yeah, it's useful.
Well, that's how you can get me work. You can yes. say, hey, you have a company voice that can explain what's going on, especially when...
And a good company voice.
A good company voice. I don't know yeah. who that might be. but, you know, you can actually have somebody, you know, when the product explodes, you can have a mm-hmm. sound effect like a bullwhip or something like, or just boom.
Boom.
Boom. Now let's make it... explode.
Boom, or, you know, even do you have a plasma wave or something like that?
Hold on. Let me see if I have anything like that. I've got...
I've got this voice.
I've got this voice as well. We could have... We could...
Yeah.
That's good.
What else? Yeah, I got to get an explosion sound effect. I don't have anything on here. I've got tension bed. Are you tired of boring product photography? Ooh, dude! Take the boring out of your product photography.
That is good as well. And this background music's nice.
It's tension. Yeah. Creates tension. We make your product photography... We make your products look less sucky. Mm. We make your product images suck less.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a Jack FM type of approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No?
No, it is. Now that you say Jack FM, yes, that is the right approach.
Well, anything else you want to bring up?
Not that I can think of. Yeah, this was great.
This is another really fun good. Podcast experience that you've had with moi.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. And this is me. This has been a good Friday afternoon. Yeah.
Fun and productive. Yeah. Now it's time. Now it's Miller time. Yes, check us out. Check out Mayorm, NashboxStudios.com. Mm-hmm. And again, if you've got a company that has a multitude of different products, maybe I can find your hook here just by loosely free thinking about it. If your company is looking for an easier, more efficient, cost-effective way to take really amazing pictures and renderings of multiple samplings of your product, bicycle helmets, wine bottles, anything like that, give Mayor a call. He is the man to make it happen. NashboxStudios.com. And again, if you like what you're hearing, please give us a rate. Go to What'sYourProblemPodcast.com. We're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, rather, and all the wherever you're listening to it, just give us a review. It doesn't have to be 5-star. I hope it's not 1-star, but just a review always helps. What'sYourProblemPodcast.com. I'm Jim McCarthy. Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming out. And we'll have to do this again sometime down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me, Jim. Mm-hmm.